Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Stand-up comedian, writer, director Steve Byrne's going to be in here, and we'll do the news as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock, October. What is that? It's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Remember, if you connect it, protect it. Take proactive steps to enhance your cybersecurity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our information at risk on the internet. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. It's almost 2021. Protect yourself, people, with the best. LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No, we prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls. A migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers. An ACS logo pop. Stick it on your phone, set it, and forget it. A keto-friendly and Finney-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming.
All right, Steve Byrne is here, comedian, actor, writer, director.
Chocolatier.
Chocolatier. Mm-hmm. The opening act is a great movie. We had Jimmy O. Yang in here last week talking about it, and I'm tickled pink for you, Steve.
Oh, thank you.
We spoke backstage maybe at the Comedy Store a couple times.
Yes, sir.
And we're talking documentaries and filmmaking.
Your documentaries.
And I thought it's so I love it when someone just has an idea, goes out there, and executes it. It's great when it comes out great, like your movie, but even if it doesn't, if they just go out and do it. Like, you have an idea,
yep.
You write it, you get everyone together, you raise the money, 18 days, shoot, boom.
Exactly, yeah. It was, you know, my phone was never ringing off the hook. So it was one of those things where it's like, I just got to put pen to paper. That's the only way I get any work, I guess, in this town. So it was great. But I loved like, you know, your docs are passion projects. This film was a passion project. I almost think like this film and Road Hard could bookend someone's career,
right?
Because
yeah,
your mine was like going to Vegas for the first time when you're 20, and yours is like driving home from Vegas as that headliner. I always thought that. I loved in Road Hard when you get offered the audience warm-up, because that's something I haven't really seen too often. People haven't explored that facet in feature films or television. I think that's just such one of those roles that most people just don't think about. But I was glad to see you explore that in Road Hard.
Yeah. Audience warm-up was sort of like publicists, like people years ago, like they didn't even know what someone. Now people kind of know what a audience warm up guy is and what a publicist is. We're all getting pretty savvy and like Hollywood lingo,
yeah.
But audience warm-up is either the best day of your life, like the drive to Vegas, like, right. You know, when you're 23 and you can make $2,000 a night warming up, you know, married with children or something,
yeah.
Or it's How the Mighty Have Fallen, like, you know, washed up comedian. It could be a bummer.
Yeah, there's I mean, that's that's the Wild West of stand-up comedy. You just never know where you're going to end up. And every comic has that story of, you know, last night I did the Tonight Show and tonight I'm XYZ. And I remember eating a plate of dicks at the comedy store. I just done the Tonight Show. I'm like feeling great. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to do a set. I'm going to go home and watch my set. And you go to the store and just ruin your whole evening by bombing in front of 20 people. And it was the same set. It's like, what just happened? What happened? I'm Fred Willard. What happened?
They have an audience warm-up guy at the Tonight Show. Gets the audience off.
That's right.
What year was that? I guess, obviously, Leno's hosting.
Yeah, I did it. That was crazy. I did the Tonight Show 10 times with Leno, and ever since, I haven't done one talk show. So it's kind of weird.
Were you doing panel, as they say, or stand-up?
Both. Both, yeah. Floating back and forth and doing, like, some, you know, interviews with Kathleen Madigan and Jim Norton and stuff. Like, after the monologue, they do some fun piece with comedians.
Oh, yeah, that was during his 10 o'clock show, right?
I did his 10 o'clock show, yeah. I did it once, and that didn't last too long, but
no.
I did it once and then bounced back to Tonight Show. Yeah.
How, so Jimmy O we talked to, but you get
the
your
best.
Bill Burrs and Eliza Schlesinger. Are these, like, all just people you put the clamp on and backstage at the comedy store? Because there's all the people you see floating around there.
No, it was literally like, oh, I gotta cast a skanky-looking cop. And it was just like, hey, Segura, are you available to be a skanky-looking cop? He's like, yeah, perfect. It's my wheelhouse, baby.
Right. Well, that's my question then. How many roles, because you wrote the movie, obviously, how many roles were written with people in mind? I'm specifically wondering about Jimmy O. Yang, but also all the supporting roles. And then how many roles were like, you know, you wrote it just thinking it was an interesting part and you offered it to somebody.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Brian. It's a really fantastic question. Let me get to that. Let me think. I never wrote it with anybody in mind. I was just writing from my own experiences because I was Jimmy O. Yang. I was the MC. I was Alex Moffat's character for a few years before I got more serious. And then now I am Billy G. I go on the road. I'm a little haggard. I not necessarily want to talk to the MC and tell him how I got started and all that horseshit conversation you have every time you meet a new MC. And I get it. I was that kid. So, you know, of course you want to be pleasant, but Billy G is named after Billy Gardell, who's on Mike and Molly and Bob
right.
Loves Abishola, because I did this Jameson Whiskey tour years ago with Bert Kreischer, Pete Corielli, a bunch of great comics, and Gardell was on it. So all these headliners, and Gardell closed and he taught me how to be a headliner. And he said that one line that was like a great one-hit wonder that always stuck in my head. It was, you know, when I was younger, I used to think I have to make them laugh so I feel good. Now I know I make them laugh so they feel good. It's the best job in the world. And when he said it, it always just kind of – it just burned in the hard drive. I'm like, that's great. And then when I was writing it, it was like that just came out. I remembered it. So
that is a great line.
Definitely after Gardell. But I never wanted to cast – just actors, because if I cast actors for that morning radio scene, I'd have to go, okay, this is what it's like when you're a comic. You've been drinking right. since 4 till 4 a.m. Now you're at 6 a.m. and you got to tell jokes. With Russell, Eliza, and Brooks Whelan, it was just like, look, you've done this. You've been there. Let's just try it out. So there was a second hand with all the comics on. It was a lot of fun.
What is, speaking of the Comedy Store, what is the status of the Comedy Store right now?
Well, the status is that they have the bars open, and that's kind of it. I think they have, like, shows
Bizarro
in that
world.
Bay window, yeah, where they podcast, and people can sit in that front bar and watch it.
Open air. But no stand-up.
No stand-up, no. I think limited, like, they can broadcast it on a screen or, like, via Zoom or something like that. But
Well, I'd heard that they're trying to set something up in the parking lot, and then the city put the kibosh on it.
Shut it down. It's crazy. I heard you talking before I came in. I'm staying in Seal Beach, literally on the border of Orange County and L.A. County. And in Seal Beach, with my wife and kids, we walk down the street, down that main street. It's beautiful. Walk in a restaurant, limited capacity, but we can sit down and have a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice. Literally, you drive a mile, if that.
Right.
It's like you're in Germany. Complete shutdown, lockdown. People look at you weird if you don't wear a mask. It's crazy.
Yeah, Orange County, which I don't know how many other places work this way, and I don't even really know the legality of it, but Orange County is a little slice of Republican, conservative, whatever, even though they're not even really Republican anymore. But it's like, it's just different areas take on their personalities. And Silver Lake has one personality, and Echo Park, and,
that's right, yeah.
You know, Canoga Park has another personality, not desirable. You know, Malibu. And Orange County just kind of has its own personality. And that personality is a little more, it's a little more red than it is blue.
Yeah.
And so they just, through this whole thing, we're kind of going, well, we're going to do what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I guess the governor is like, no walking on the beach. And Orange County's like, yeah, well, we're not going to listen to that. We'll just let people walk on the beach.
Yeah. And as they're doing the backstroke. Whatever, Newsom.
So people are just doing what they want. And I know two of the guys I speak to most frequently are Mike August and Dr. Drew. Mike August moved to Orange County, and Dr. Drew has a weekend place down there. And every time I talk to those guys, I go, you know, Saturday at 5 in the afternoon, I go, what are you guys doing tonight? And they're like, we're going out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but outdoors? No, you can go in. You can go there. Or back when we couldn't do any dining, they're like, yeah, you go out and sit in the patio or whatever. And I was like, oh, because I'm going down to my basement with a salt lick and a pistol. And they're like, no, we're going out with friends. And I'm like, yeah. Oh. By the way, they are 31 miles away from me, and there doesn't seem to be any difference. It's just somehow they went, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, that 1 mile, Seal Beach, Orange County, and L.A. County, it's crazy. You just walk out, and it's like, oh, you can live your life here. And then you come to L.A. County. And you gotta harbor yourself from all the homelessness.
Right.
And all that crazy shit.
All I want to say is, after 4 months of people not dropping dead in Orange County, well,
I think
why
we're
not?
Good.
Yeah, why not?
Open Disneyland. They're doing it in Florida. You don't think so?
No.
They did it in Florida.
So.
Florida.
They should open every fucking thing. We should have a book drop on Monday at noon where you just drop the book and everything opens. Just everyone goes, fuck it.
Like,
prison
like,
break.
Give them the purge.
Give them the purge.
Yeah.
All right. So this is frustrating. Where are you doing stand-up, or are you doing stand-up?
I rarely do stand-up. It's funny. Just before the pandemic hit, my daughter's 8 years old. She's at the point now where she realizes daddy's leaving. She gets emotional. Why do you have to leave every weekend? And the last time I was pulling out of the driveway, I see her in the bay window. She's crying, and just every fiber just wants to throw the car in park run and go, daddy's not leaving you, but I got to keep the lights on. So I go. The next week I come home, pandemic hits, we're all quarantined. The next 6 months, I'm like, this is the greatest. I'm with my wife, I'm with my kids, this is beautiful. And about the seventh month, I was just like, what water fountain did you chuck a quarter into and wish for your daddy to stay home? Because you've crippled the global economy, ruined small businesses, our freedoms are taken away. It's all my daughter's fault, wherever the camera is, it's my daughter's fault. So I'm going to drain that fountain and burn it.
It's hard to burn a fountain.
Really? I'm going to drain it though first, and then yeah.
I know, but it's just nothing but blocks of concrete and carved alabaster. You know, that flam
tile.
Yeah, do a barn.
But I think I'm going to Cleveland is my first date since a while. So I'll be there like Halloween weekend at Hilarities, and I just got that offer today, and then hopefully November I can start working in December. But it's been nuts. I was in the edit bay, I came home. And I told my wife I got a tailor to come over. I got a nice tuxedo. I never owned a tux. So I was like, got a tux. I got her a beautiful dress. I said, we're going to wear this when the film premieres. She said, great.
Right.
And I pulled it out on Friday, and I pulled it out of the closet. I go, we're going to wear these in the living room when the film premieres.
It's available now on digital and video on demand, by the way. And I noticed that Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley are
old neighbor,
and those guys are partners. I think I went out to dinner with those two guys in my old neighborhood. Peter Billingsley is the kid from
Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all grown up now. How did you get them to produce this, or what is your relationship with those guys?
Been best pals for a long time. I moved to L.A. They were doing the Wild West comedy documentary, which still holds up. It's a great doc about young comics starting. And they were doing a show in Vegas, and I went and did it, 2,000 people. I went up cold. Vince walked out for maybe 30 seconds and introduced me, got a standing ovation. It was one of those nights things clicked. And then I come off stage like, who the hell is this guy? And 2 weeks later, I'm in Costa Rica with a bunch of guys and Vince. And ever since then,
We're looking at a picture of it.
That was the night
Steve
I met them, actually.
Some Goldilocks shit.
I just come off stage.
Did you have to stand in order?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, Vince and Peter met doing an after school special when they were both, I think, 18, both moved to L.A. And Peter was a star athlete and Vince was on the track team. And Peter started shooting up, started taking steroids. And Vince, you know, very dramatically, you got to get off this junk, man.
Sorry. In the after school special, yeah. I was like, he was a star athlete and Vince was shooting what?
Yeah.
Yeah. That they met, yeah, filming the after-school special.
After-school special.
You weave such an intricate tale. You brought me right. I was there.
That's right.
But Vince was intervening into Peter's life.
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, they've been great. We did Sullivan's Son together. We did this film together. And I just wrote this film on a whim because, again, I wasn't working. I was on the road. I just thought I'm going to write a film as an exercise to see if I can do it. And then I wrote it. I just gave it to Vince saying, you know, am I way off base? Or is this even worth anything? And then, you know, a year later, we're making it.
Well, I, you know, it's those kinds of endeavors that really they're I'll try not to get too lost in thought. But what I'm saying is I think everyone thinks in terms of training or certificates or getting licensed or something, sure, or having a dad who's prominent or a mom who's prominent or going to a prominent school. If you could just graft one thing onto your kids, it would be beginning, middle, and end. It'd be, you know where you were when you had the idea for the opening act. Mm-hmm. I guess you know. When I came up with the idea for the hammer, I know exactly where I was. I was driving on Coldwater Canyon. I was going right past the street that goes up to Bill Maher's house, like Cherokee or something, like whatever it was. Yeah. And I was just driving, and I know exactly where I was. And then I remember going to the premiere, which I could legally attend back then. And you have the beginning, all of this middle, and then the end. And then when the next thing comes around, when everyone else is overwhelmed or explaining why it's not going to work or how difficult it is, you just have that in your head.
Yeah, I never once thought, you know, I was like, look, I just wanted to make a great film about stand-up. That was my thought process. And it's funny you mentioned that because I was in San Jose. I came off stage and was like, I got to do something. You know, the show had been canceled. I'm back on the road. You know, you're not relevant anymore. Even when the show was on, there wasn't this dramatic shift in my career. And I was in San Jose, and I went to Original Joe's, and I sat down, and I picked up – I had with me Save the Cat in my backpack that I had for, like, years. It was just sitting there. I pulled it out. I started reading it again. I'm like, I'm going to write something about stand-up comedy. And that's how it all started. And I thought – show it for the first time. Show some young kid going to a club for the first time, because it's not just about the 10 minutes you're on stage. It's the light, bachelorette parties, hecklers, pleasing the manager, hoping you get asked back, warming up to the road-weary veteran, all the intricacies that you got to deal with, and the morning radio. And the fact that it's your first time, you're going to suck. You're going to stink. And so you've got to, each time you fail, you get a little bit better and you get a little more well-versed and you develop an arsenal of weapons and eventually you'll become a better working comic. So I just wanted to take the audience through the inside baseball of it all and show them what it's really like at the beginning, because failure and stand-up are synonymous. It's a symbiotic relationship, but that dopamine is that one drug, that one hit of like laughter you get from something you wrote in the car or on the train or on the plane, and taking that out there to a room full of strangers and they laugh and you think, fuck, that's it. That's why I'm back tomorrow. And you put up with it. And I just love those days of blind optimism and romanticism, sleeping in my Saturn, driving across the country, pulling into college campuses and taking showers at the rec center, pretending I went to school there so I could get a shower as I'm going to my next shit gig.
You fucking Asians can get away with murder on a college campus. somebody tries to bust you, and you're like, oh, my dad's going to fucking throw you off this campus, boy.
Yeah.
Currently 83% with critics and 94% with the audience. For comedies, that is off the goddamn charts. Yes,
and
Gina.
Just as Steve says, you know, showing the behind the scenes, I'd like to take it a step further. You pull the camera even farther back and show people who are just thinking about getting into this while they deal with the shit job they're in. Now, yeah. I don't know anyone who can't relate to that in some form. And the boss, who played beautifully by Bill Burr, who just thinks, I have it all figured out. This is what life's about. Platitude. You're fine where you are. And who among us hasn't been caught in that purgatory?
Yeah, when I was starting to write it, I was thinking, what was the last job I had? I was a waiter at a Greek restaurant called the Aegean on 73rd in Columbus. And when I gave the script out, Cedric said he was actually working for State Farm Insurance. That was his last job, and that's when he got intrigued to say, yeah, I'll do this. So I do think it's funny. And the tough thing with Bill Burr being the boss is we left so much on the floor. He was so goddamn funny. What we learned in test screening was that we had to temper his performance down because there has to be some sense of stakes. Like if he leaves this job and goes, does stand up and he fails, oh, you can just go back to that fun job with that really cool boss. Mm-hmm. So we had to truncate a lot of this stuff. But man, if this film ever got to be popular enough where I could show everybody all the things we left out, that the comics were improvising, it'd be, oh God, it's a totally different film.
We will, let's see.
Can't imagine it was a fun set. Just by the nature of just who was in the movie.
Total blast. Every day was great. Alex was great. I hadn't met Alex before. Colin Jost from SNL recommended him to me.
Oh, Alex Moffat, yeah.
And I'd seen an independent film he did called Uncle Henry or something. It was really good, and he's so grounded, and he just took this role, and in many ways, there's a lot of people that say he stole the film because he's just such a crazy character. But I do want to preface.
So grounded, you say?
Yeah. Everything in the film has happened to me in real life. So once he hits the road, I did end up under that trailer after a show in Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlie Goodnight's, fearing for my life. And this is back when I didn't have a cell phone, so scared out of my goddamn mind. I bombed on radio on KLOS here in Los Angeles.
Mark and Brian?
No, Frank, Heidi, and Frosty at the time. I'm friends with them now, but I bombed so bad on radio. It was the second time I ever did radio. The first time was Stern. I was like, I wish somebody would have pulled me aside and said, don't do this. You're not ready yet. I wasn't ready.
What? Why were you on Stern? I don't mean to sound insulting, but I mean, what was going on career-wise?
Craig Gass, great comic, impersonator, was doing it a bunch, and he had all these stories.
Sorry,
that he would,
what year was this?
Oh, God, this has got to be 99, 98, somewhere in there.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So Craig's on there a lot. He's telling these guys some stories about me, and then I have a ton of bad stories about Craig. So they said, right. And that's how it all happened. They're like, come on, talk about
now
Craig.
That sounds Sterny.
Ooh, it was brutal.
Let me hit Red Cap, and then we'll do some news. That's Red Cap with a K, by the way, not a C. Red Cap's one of the oldest makers of workwear in the country, outfitting our essential workforce. For nearly a century, they have something for seemingly every industry, from coveralls to high-visibility work shirts to oil-blocking chef coats and shop shirts as well. They sent us a bunch of these coveralls, and the work gear is just second to none. You can see the quality. You can smell it. You can taste the quality. But they sent it all out to us, and everyone here digs it. So I think you should check it out right now. Go to redcap.com, enter promo code Adam, get 20% off your first order. This offer ends November 20th, so get in there and buy some top-tier industrial-grade workwear. It's perfect for any job. That's Redcap with a K, Redcap with a K, promo code Adam. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve Byrne will hang in, and we'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Seek news with Gina Grad.
The News with Gina Grad.
Sorry, Steve. Oh, yeah. Steve, can you talk about what you were talking about off the air?
Yeah, I was just asking you how you feel about staying in California, et cetera, et cetera. And after the fifth month, my wife and I, we always liked Los Angeles, but never loved it.
Yeah.
She's a Minnesota girl. I'm Rust Belt. I'm Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I always liked it. But even like now at Seal Beach, I really don't go to the beach all that often. I'm not a beach guy.
What about then, seals?
Are they good enough for you?
Well, I bring the ball down and I'm waiting for them to balance it. It never happens.
No, I will say this. All right, here's my. You guys can tell me. I've not really thought about this. It's a combination when you've lived in Los Angeles your whole life, mm-hmm. and you think about these other places. These other places didn't have a fill in the blank. My new thing is, if it's got a fucking PF Chang's, I'll move there. You've reached a certain
Jersey
level,
Mike's? Okay, yeah.
Certain level of civilization. But yeah. when you start traveling, as we all do, and you really start traveling, getting into the kind of the nooks and the cracks of places, you play yep. a comedy club. Play the comedy club, you hang out for 2.5 days. Saturday, you got nothing to do all day. Find yourself walking around town. Mm-hmm. And you now find yourself walking around going, not too shabby.
Yeah.
Hey, this is not bad. So when I was a kid in Southern California, if you would have said Salt Lake City, I would have been like, a podunk. Come on, man.
Right. Yeah.
Or Nashville. So I'm not a shit kicker. Like, whatever it is. So what's going on and why so many people are flirting with this mm-hmm. is California is going down, and yep. but these other places are going up. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of, you know, Carolinas and stuff like that. There's plenty of good places around, and Southwest is getting cheaper. So transportation's getting cheap.
Yep.
California going down. Many places in the rest of the country heading up. So wouldn't that be a recipe for people leaving SoCal?
Yeah, I tell you, the time just before everything hit, I took the 101. I went off Gower, and my buddy had a juice shop, so I went to go support. And I pull off the Gower exit off the 101. I see all these tents.
Right.
I'm like, what is going on here? So I go into the shop. I go, is there like a music festival here? They go, what are you talking about? I go, I see all these tents. And they're like, they started laughing at me. They go, that's the homeless. And I was like, yeah. Are you fucking kidding
that's
me?
That's a big encampment right there.
Oh, my
Gower.
God. Wash station, latrine. Yeah. Like, come on in. Make yeah. yourself at home.
Yeah, to me, when they got into my old neighborhood in sort of Studio City, Valley Village, because the valley... And that part of the valley was always impervious to the mm-hmm. homeless. Homeless was like Skid Row and downtown, or maybe it spilled into Silver Lake. When I saw the other day the latrine and the wash station and everything off of Ventura Boulevard, you know, off the Ventura Freeway on Laurel Canyon, I was like, we have jumped the fucking shark, man.
Yep. And that's why I, after the fifth month, my wife and I, we just said, you know, let's get the hell out of here. And I had romanticized Nashville as one of those cities. I'm like, not too shabby. And the more I explored it, I talked to a good friend, Nate Bargatze, a great comic. Yep. And he gave me the lay of the land. I went out, I looked at it, and our home gone. And we're going out to Nashville, I think, sometime in December. So,
wow. Yeah, you walk around Nashville, and it is in many of these cities. Not only are they fairly metropolitan, but because they're all sort of on the rise, things are newer. Like yeah. the downtown is newer. Things are fresher. Like things aren't old and sort of coming undone. So, yeah. A lot of choices these days.
In all of our many travels, when we were traveling, God, it was, you know, at least once or twice a month, at least when I started. And I'm from the Midwest, and I had no plans of ever going back.
Yeah.
But two places that still stick out to me from all of our Corolla Live show plethora of tours is Royal Oak, Michigan, and Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, Louisville's great.
Yeah.
Loved.
Yeah. And even places... I don't recommend Houston, let's be honest. But Indianapolis is pretty really nice town to walk around, too. All right, Gina, what do you got?
Well, we got some sad news to start with. Jeff Bridges tweeted something that is quite the bum out. He's been diagnosed with lymphoma. He said it on Monday. He said, as the dude would say, new shit has come to light. He added, I've been diagnosed with lymphoma. Although it's a serious disease, I feel fortunate to have a great team of doctors and the prognosis is good. I'm starting treatment and will keep you posted in my recovery. He then said, and he's 70, by the way, he thanked his friends and family for encouraging him. And not sure when he got the diagnosis, but he did just go public with that.
Wow.
I don't want a world. I want a world where he's in it. I don't. There's certain guys I need, certain people I don't need. We should be able to trade. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you like two Kardashians
for one Bridges.
For one Bridges.
Well, throw in Bo.
Yeah, we'd like. I'd like Bo. I'd like Bo to stay.
Yeah, but he's always on the table.
Right.
Yeah, because we got to make the cap. So maybe deal in days.
That's a great line.
Deal in days.
Well, it's a funny concept until I get to fucking tap on the shoulder one day. What? You've been traded. Yeah.
We got to save Rachel Maddow.
Kimmel's in trouble.
Yeah.
We'll give you the cast of Veep.
Right.
We get to keep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're keeping the cast of Veep.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a couple of years since anyone's seen a hide or a hair of Bill Cosby, but TMZ has obtained his updated mugshot, and it is rough. He's 83. He was sentenced in 2018 to 3 to 10 years in Pennsylvania for sexually assaulting Andrea Constan, Pennsylvania prison, that is. And do you have the original mugshot, Kaylin? It's the you really just go back and forth between 2 years. What a difference 2 years makes. One, at least, you know, he looks like Bill Cosby. The newer one, he's very disheveled. And I mean, I don't know if he's still doing his Sunday service in the prison that he had been doing for so long, but that is the newest mugshot. And we can put that up so people can see it.
Wow, that's like the Black Nick Nolte.
Yeah, he's going down that road. He's you know, your nose never stops growing or getting wider. And there's that. The hair, he's got a little Krusty the Clown going on And not only Krusty the Clown, but the clown from In Living Color.
Homie
meets Krusty. Also, it's got to be weird to be like a new inmate and run across this version of Bill Cosby. Yeah. Like, where you go, like, who's that guy? And someone goes, I don't know. And some other guy goes, that's Keyless Chuck. He's the janitor. No, that's Bill Cosby. You'd be like, get the
America's
fuck?
America's dad?
I used to watch reruns of The Cosby Show when I was on the outside. Like, that is him. God. We should what we need to do? Remember back in sitcoms, there was a trope in a sitcom where they would find the Japanese soldier who still thought World War II was going on and it was on an island. And evidently this existed, but I think they took it a little too far. We need to isolate. We need to pull people out of the population and end them. Like, you'll end at 1989. You'll end at 2002. Yeah. And then we'll bring them out and we'll go, you know Bill Cosby? Yeah, this is Bill Cosby.
This is what happened, baby. Surprise.
Yeah.
As long as I have my beloved Bruce Jenner, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah,
what do we tell you about Donald Trump?
Right.
Oh, my God.
How does this new mugshot help anyone? Like, ma'am, is this the man who assaulted you? No.
Yeah, why did they need... He's in prison. Do you have to update him every few... Yeah, like you're, like you're at the DMV?
Right.
I guess. Weird.
Make sure you're still an organ donor. So, speaking of disgrace, writer and CNN senior analyst Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended by the New Yorker magazine and is on leave from CNN after he reportedly exposed himself on a corporate Zoom call. Who among us? Staff writers at the New Yorker and employees from WNYC were on a video call preparing for election night coverage. And the New York Times reports that during a pause in the call for a breakout session, those are when you kind of like go to different rooms to deal with, you know, various people. Mr. Toobin switched to a second call that was the video call equivalent of like a phone sex call, according to two people who were familiar with it. And they spoke under anonymity. Asked Monday afternoon about reporters that he had exposed himself to, he said, Mr. Toobin said, I am made an embarrassingly stupid mistake, believing I was off camera. I apologized to my wife, family, friends, coworkers, but he's decided to take a little time off, they're saying. It was his decision.
See, I heard this story at first, and it's like he'd expose himself, and I was like going, all right, so his pants were down on a Zoom call.
He just came out of shower or something. Yeah.
Whatever, like said, bath, who among us? Sash in the bath. But I think he was beating off.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what they're saying, that he was on basically a video phone sex call, and he thought he had taken the other call.
But you don't have to beat off immediately. There's a sort of cooling down period.
I got to know you.
Yeah. What's your favorite pizza topping? So was he beating off on this? Okay. Well, we should say beating off because he was beating.
Is it unclear or was he beating off?
Well, he inappropriately exposed himself.
No, you can't keep saying that because everyone's inappropriately exposed.
I think anytime the laptop comes up, a guy is three pages away from ending up jerking off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially you get me on Bring a Trailer on a Sunday morning.
Clear out.
69 Camaro, Z28, low mileage.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I'm going to get going now.
This headline on Fox says, Jeffrey will probably return to CNN after masturbation scandal dies down.
Yeah. The problem with expose yourself is that could be any one of us at any time with the bathrobe coming open.
Right.
The beating off is a little bit of a different animal. I still respect the man. I'm just trying to. There's a difference between exposure and beating off. Exposure is showing somebody a knife, and beating off is stabbing them.
Right. Yeah.
I need to. It's nuanced, but in the eyes of the law, it makes a difference to Judge Adam.
Right.
Did you brandish?
Or did you penetrate?
Or did you shiv? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The more you read about it, he was definitely jerking, though.
Yeah.
That appears to be it, because if it's. Anyway, if it was, I don't know, Max Baz.
I mean, that's what I'm hearing, too. But now, keep in mind, he is a CNN reporter, so they could be protecting him by just saying exposing. But everywhere else that I've read, it's reportedly his screen went down a little bit. went down, and it showed the goods, and they saw him working
the goods. Yeah, because if it just goes down, it's like, I made a mistake, or we all done a Zoom in our fucking underpants or whatever. I think it's the beating off part that caused this.
Rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. CNN told him to beat it. They yanked him off the air. You can keep doing it. Yeah, I mean, just...
Well, we do have more answers for the next presidential debate, which is, you know, hours away at this point.
Well, hold on. Was Tubin doing a Zoom call like a business call?
Yes, but from the story, he took another Zoom.
Right, but what was his original? What was his original?
It was election night coverage.
A
discussion for the work staff.
Jesus. This first off,
he's really gonna be excited when Trump loses.
I don't know. This guy's a multitasker. Like, I'm so uncoordinated. I can't beat off and chew gum at the same time. I can't beat off and shoot cum at the same. I mean,
there's only 24 hours in a day, right, guys? What's up, Yana? Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
it was an election simulator. That's right. All right. Sorry.
So speaking of election simulators, the thing that we were all prepared for and probably shouting at our television screens during the first debate is what's going to happen, apparently, at this next debate. We likely won't see a lot of interruptions, or at least we won't hear them super well, because on Monday, the sponsors of the second and final debate between Trump and Biden said that their mix will be muted when their time is up. So, you know, you'll hear some shouting at a distance, but you won't hear it very clearly, I imagine. The commission said that while one of the candidates is given their 2 minutes to answer each question, the other mic will be muted. The final debate will be moderated by Kristen Welker of NBC. It's scheduled for Thursday at 9 Eastern in Nashville.
She's a nasty woman. I don't like her. She's nasty.
Oh, no. Oh, she's not an impartial third party.
I don't like her. Nasty woman.
Oh, jeez.
This mic thing is probably going to help Trump, so he probably shouldn't protest.
I watched the last debate. I muted it, and I still heard Trump.
I don't know how that's possible, really. But it happened. Yeah.
And I had it muted, and I got spittle on me from Trump. So.
You better get checked, buddy.
We're going 4K, man. But the only thing I could tell from the whole thing, and I know everyone thinks I'm a fucking dick all the time, but I was looking at the topics, and it's like number one, COVID. And I was like, okay, it's been talked about quite a bit, but fine. Number two, race in America. It's like, could we give it a fucking break?
Yeah.
Could we just give it a fucking break? It's people don't like racism. We live in a non-racist country. The reason everyone from around the world tries to get here is because of that. Could we just fucking give it a break? I get it. He doesn't like racism. Trump is going to have trouble saying it. He doesn't like racism. Move the fuck on. Then they're both going to tell some sort of story about what they did for a black person or about how we have to, you know, reimagine policing or whatever the fuck it is. Can we stop talking about race so much? It's fucking insane. 2021 is 2 months away. It doesn't need to be the second thing they talk about on the debate. It's all we talk about. It's understood, and there's nothing they can say about it on that debate stage that's going to clear anything up or fix anything that has to do with race. Can we pick a fucking subject, economy or something, schooling, whatever, something, foreign affairs, something's got a little more fucking meat on the bone instead of this esoteric race fucking thing that we all make ourselves heroes every 5 minutes. We're having a dialogue. You need a seat at the table. And then you pull up the seat at the table. Now we have an honest dialogue about fucking race. Jesus Christ. You can keep fucking talking about it. You'll never fucking fix it by talking about it. And no candidate explaining what he's going to do about it ever fucking touches it because you can't get to it from where they are.
I am so incensed. After this show, I'm pushing over three statues. I'm just letting everybody out there know. Nice.
And burning a ballot box.
Ugh. Yeah.
Ooh.
I agree with you
100%. They should ask about, what do you think of 50 Cent? Do you see that he tweeted something like, you know, I'm Trump all the way now. I don't care if he likes black people or not. You know, Joe Biden's new tax policy that's going to put like a 62% tax on anyone that makes more than $400,000. I'm Trump all the way. So maybe talk about 50 Cent.
You want to talk about civil liberties. Them taking in California, I think it was 63% of your income. We're not even at, we're fucking sailed right past 50%, and we're now past 60%. We get 37%. We get to take home 37% of what we make. If you make more than 400K, that is that is civil liberty crushing. That's the fucking government taking more than half your money. Like, we never stop talking about, you know, abortions and the right to this, and that guy burned a flag, and what about free speech zones and all that? How about them taking 60-something% of the money you earn? That doesn't seem like a civil liberty impingement.
I know a good realtor.
Jesus Christ. And New Jersey, and New York. I mean, they're all,
and by the way, don't
60
think
it, plus.
It's not just that. They're going to rake the citizens over the coals of California the next 5-10 years to make up for all that lost revenue that they've been missing out on these last 7 months.
Okay.
Oh, no, they're not. They're just going to follow the people who leave for 10 years, right?
Right.
That's true, too. Yeah.
They're going to fucking tag them like a caribou. Newsom's going to be up in the tree with binoculars and a fucking walkie-talkie. Look, everyone, anyone who lives in one of those cities, anybody who lives in one of those cities and makes more than 400K a year is going to move. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Okay. I don't know. This doesn't, you know, whenever we're talking about like government overreach, or we're talking about big government, or we're talking about the citizens, doesn't taking more than 60% of the money you earn, that doesn't feel like the ultimate overreach? God damn. It's like we just fucking sit around and talk about abortion. We talk about religious freedom and all that stuff. Great. How about my cut is in the 30s? My cut is in the 30s now. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Is there something attractive about that? Or you just get to go, fuck all those rich people. And by the way, you live in California, you live in L.A., and you make $407,000 a year, you ain't rich. That's for goddamn sure.
But you're privileged.
You're privileged.
This is right. Why.
That's right.
It's a privilege tax. That's what's happening.
All right.
Well, let's move on to something a little lighter. Now that Borat
thoughts.
Has
Do you guys have
movie.
Thoughts about this?
Do we have thoughts?
Yeah.
I think it's insane.
It is insane. Is it a progressive tax where like you make a certain amount and that amount gets taxed at 62%? I'm assuming it is, but I don't know. I didn't know the story.
Certain amount is over 400K,
yep,
I think.
62%, 63%. And that's the thing, because for those of us who don't make $400,000, what is the incentive for me to I have two jobs now as it is. What's the incentive for me to find a third job if I know the more I make, the more is going to be taken away from me?
Yeah, the sweet spot's like just underneath that. You want to like cap it like right there, though, if you can.
Right. So it's insane. It's fucking insane. It's 400 grand. So, well, you're certainly going to move if you get to over 400. All right.
Right. There's no reason to stay. Now that Borat has a new movie out, he's starting to do some press. He was last seen on Jimmy Kimmel Live Monday night promoting Borat's subsequent movie film, Delivery of Prodigious Bribe to American Regime for Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. And the first thing he did when he came out was let Jimmy Kimmel know that there is a new virus called the coronavirus. It's out of Wuhan, Israel, started by the Jews. And he then went into a questionnaire with Jimmy to make sure he wasn't infected. Here's a clip.
Health questionnaire, normal Kazakh plague questionnaire. Mm-hmm. In the last week, have you been in the presence for more than 15 minutes of any Jews?
Yes, all of our writers and none of our camera guys are Jews. Yeah.
That's funny.
Is that bad?
This is not bad.
Oh.
That is one. Oh. And your diet, as a member of Hollywood elite,
yeah.
Have you recently drunk any unpasteurized children's blood?
Unpasteurized? No, I have not.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Not in any pizza parlors recently?
No, I have the
that
pizza
surprising.
Delivered to the house, yeah.
And for the contact tracing, I need the names and addresses of the last 12 prostitutes you have been with.
I'm going to have to get back to you with that.
Why, there are more?
Yeah.
And were any of them women? No. Yes, I did not think so. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite position to make sexy time?
What does that have to do with the virus?
Nothing. Uh-huh. I just want to know. I'm a fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I want to imagine you. It's not so. Swing. Yeah. Yes, this is catchphrase.
The answer is laying on my back like a seal. Yeah.
You made it with a seal.
No, I didn't.
Naughty.
It's funny shit.
Then he tried to penetrate him with a thermometer and a 10-foot pole, and it got crazier from there. But great promotional junket by Borat. I think the movie's going to be a success.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when is it out? Is it?
It's going to be on Amazon Friday. Prime on Friday, right?
Oh, yeah. Amazon Prime. All right, hit Butcher Box here. Hard to find 100% grass-fed finished beef. Yeah, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork or wild-caught salmon in the grocery store. Today's sponsor, Butcher Box, thinks you should make one less trip to the store and for better, more affordable selection. We use ButcherBox on a nightly basis. Olga cooks up something great each and every night. The stuff is top shelf. It's better than you'd think it would be. It is better than it needs to be. They want to keep you for a customer for life. Each box has between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, around just $6 a meal, packed fresh, ship frozen, vacuum sealed, free shipping nationwide except for Alaska and Hawaii. And right now, members get two lobster tails and two filet mignons, the surf and turf deal. And all you got to do is go to ButcherBox. I'll tell you how to do it. That's two lobster tails, two filet mignons free in your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/Adam and get the surf and turf. All right, one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, you know, we were talking about anchovies earlier and, you know, picky people, picky kids. We've even done segments on this show. You've done it on your old radio show. Will Angie eat it? Will Andrew eat it? Well, this is refreshing. This is the kid we should all strive to be. This little four-year-old went viral on social media recently, when he might be literally the least picky eater of all time. His mom did several taste test challenges with him and edited them all together. His thumbs up are for foods he likes, thumbs down for foods he doesn't like. But he liked everything. He liked pickled beets. He liked kippered herring. The only food he didn't seem to like was horseradish, balsamic vinegar, and wasabi. Here are some of the other things he said yes to. Let's all be this kid.
It's Mike August, illegitimate kid.
That's right.
Well, he is black.
Taste challenge.
All right, first we have pickled beets. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up.
Spicy pickle. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up.
Quite the
seaweed. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Black coffee.
It's thumbs up.
And it goes, I mean, it's like 5 minutes long. There's nothing this kid won't eat except basically wasabi.
Yeah, I feel like there's enough on TV I can watch. I don't know. I don't know if this kid's, I don't know if this kid's going to...
Those Love Boat episodes where they wash themselves.
It's not that they're going to...
That had an element of when the squirrel is snowboarding, except for you just see the squirrel duct taped to the snowboard and they push it down the hill.
Have you ever given a toddler a spicy pickle and seen what happens to them?
Many times.
We are very upset. Oh,
you didn't let me finish my thought.
Wait, we said give him the spicy pickle.
Quite frequently. Several times earlier today. No,
I thought about this kid in the last few days and thought, if he can try that, I can definitely try whatever I'm about to eat.
I think that kid figured out that it was cool to give the thumbs up after whatever it is they tried.
But there was no
positive
wincing.
Reaffirmation, dopamine effect.
It could have been, that could have been cooked or coached, is what I'm saying. I hate to be that guy, but you know, I believe that we, the U.S. government, took down the Twin Towers, and I believe that kid was coached.
I miss the good old days of watching a fat girl fall off a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's what I want to watch.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss that. Where's Saget?
Since you guys are so anti, your thumbs down, the little kid, I'm going to just do this for Brian because I don't care anymore. And I've been sitting on it because I hate it. But Brian, let's make you happy. How about that? Oh. The first 90s song has logged 1 billion streams on Spotify.
Yes.
And it's stupid.
It's only
Wonderwall.
It should only go to the greatest song ever made.
1995 song. It has now surpassed Queen, which was, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody. And
good.
Oasis, congratulations on your billionth stream on Spotify.
Good. Wipe all the other pretenders away.
Best band in the world.
You and Brian need to talk after.
Oh, yeah. I got my pretty green jacket on. This is Liam Gallagher's clothing company. I love Oasis.
Wow, Gina, who could have fucking seen this coming?
I'm going to throw my computer out the window.
Brian, I'm coming over.
How many Oasis shows you been to?
Oh, God. 7. I got a guitar signed by Noel. Met Liam and Noel in Vegas. Yeah, love them. Massive
fan. We may
have
been a couple of the same shows over the years. That probably been about 7. Yeah, probably about that.
I went to the one at the joint at the Hard Rock where Brandon Flowers said he walked in at the end and saw them perform and said, that's what I want to do. So
yes, I saw them at the joint at Hard Rock, too. This would have been 2002-ish.
We got to prick thumbs in front of a fireplace tonight and swap blood.
And Gina, I'm sad to report this, but I got to wrap up this Oasis love affair because I got to see Oasis tribute band in the Burbank Costco parking lot. Yes.
Noasis?
No, they're called Mirage. No.
Yeah.
It's a Mirage. It's a desert thing.
But, yeah, they're doing it at the Costco Oasis.
Yeah, so we're all pretty heavily into Oasis.
All right.
So we're fighting pretty hard for that team.
Have a good day.
All right. So, wait a minute. That is the most streamed song
Now it's rivaling Bohemian Rhapsody that also passed, that had already passed a billion. Now Wonderwall has passed a billion.
Jesus, good
God. It was the first 90 song to pass a billion.
Oh, the first 90. All right. All right. The opening act, available now on digital and video on demand as well. A very good movie and a very good guy, Steve Byrne, everyone. And you can go to stevebyrnelive.com. And it's available as we speak. Yes, Steve?
As we speak, No. Thank you guys so much for...
progression.
The mighty
it's a nice segue.
We're looking at Cosby, and we're looking at Homie the Clown, and we're looking at Krusty the Clown, and they're all about the same lane. All right. I'm doing a live stand-up West Palm Beach, Florida improv November 20th and 21st. We're doing live podcasts in the early show and in the late show, doing stand-up. And I'm also doing a matinee show on Saturday, Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagos over there. I'm your emotional support animals, available as we speak. That's my new book. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina and Bald and Steve Byrne saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Please leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And grab the Ace Man's book. I'm your emotional support animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture. It's everywhere. It's awesome. And you can get it at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.